Talking with Steve Thompson, of course, public affairs guru from Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Steve, you were telling me that we're kind of at a pause as far as the legislative process is concerned here for 2020. House has kind of completed their first wave of business. Senate has done the same and starting to getting ready to flip.
Yes, sir, that's correct. We've worked our way through committees and the full floor in each side of the building, and as they prepare to really take the legislation across the chamber and start that process again, the deadline falls right now as we're heading into spring break and all of our activities at the Youth Expo. And so next week's going to be very quiet at the Capitol as everybody sort of catches their breath there and takes an eye a little closer look maybe at what all has survived and things that may have moved really quick the first time. You take a second look at and make sure that, you know, that we have those things the way that they need to be. And so the process is at times slow and deliberative and maybe even a little bit redundant, but with good reason. So we'll dig deeper into all of those bills and maybe ask some questions that there wasn't time on the calendar during February and March.
Right. Now, I know that we did have at least a couple of measures that had already started the process last year in 2019, and we kind of finished those up fairly quickly, and a couple of them have even gone to the governor.
Yeah, we had a measure that we had worked in partnership with Cattlemen's Association that would provide a little bit of reform to our eminent domain laws. You know, we have some real issues sometimes whenever things work out to where the government forcibly takes our land for one reason or another, and so we're always looking to try to strengthen the landowner side of that discussion and negotiation. And one of the things that emerged was when you take land for, let's say, for transportation highway projects, some folks got inadvertently caught up that they lost their water rights to that land too, which really had nothing to do with the transaction being projected. So we made sure that if the government needs to take a piece of property for a given purpose, that they're not automatically able to take the water rights, and if they need the water rights, they have to say that out front, and they have to assess a value to that specifically over and above what they're just paying for the surface land.
And I guess what the other thing that was a very early part of the session had to do with this conversation about these special enterprise zones or zones as far as public safety is concerned. Agriculture had to get what they could out of that particular conversation.
That's right, Ron. The municipal ad valorem for a public safety protection district is a conversation and really a struggle we've been having for probably four out of the last 5 years. You know, it really sprung up hard and fast early this year. But as our old friend Ron Justice told me, this wasn't a quick issue. Even though it happened very quickly in 2020, this is the culmination of multiple years worth of negotiation and truly, you know, a little bit of fight and struggle at the Capitol. And so we were able to accomplish the number one priority that our members had given to us. You know, our first goal was to oppose that. And we're still opposed to the idea of creating new ad valorem taxes. But that bill was on a fast track to passage. And so we scrapped and clawed and worked really closely with our friends at the Cattlemen's Association and AFR and a few other groups. And we're able to force the 60% vote threshold amendment on there. And so we it's kind of a reluctant compromise. But, you know, sometimes in the policy world, that's the best you can do. And we feel like we've tried to keep them a little bit honest with that, make sure a community really does step up and support it if there's going to be an additional property tax.
I guess that's a case where you actually had to get your members kind of getting their arms around that over a couple of year, two or three year process.
That's exactly right, because our policy at Farm Bureau, as well as most landowner organizations, has been, since the beginning of time, strongly opposed to all forms of property taxes. It's a very difficult thing for us. You know, income tax, sales tax, other things, you know, can ebb and flow based upon your needs and your income. And property tax comes due whether we've made a profit in a given year or even harvested a crop at all. So that's very difficult. So we've known the issues at play. We've had instructions from the legislative leadership about what was probably going to happen one day on this, and so we I think I probably gave 20 speeches last year at Farm Bureau meetings around the state, talking about the lay of the land, if you will, on that, and made sure that we knew exactly what that they needed that to look like if that was something that was going to happen. And so we feel like that we did the best that could be done given a fairly difficult subject.
What has popped up either on the House side or the Senate side that has caught your eye, good or bad?
Well, just this past week, we had what I think might be our biggest fight of 2020 over another property tax issue. There was one that would be a full countywide property tax to create hazard mitigation districts. And there was really not a good way to protect our land in rural areas of the state where most of our members' acres are at. And it was a fairly small amount per acre, but we were highly concerned that you multiply that out over a whole operation, that really adds up. And so we formed a fairly large coalition of all the ag groups and the oil and gas sector and the state chamber and several of our other friends, and went to work at the Capitol and issued the action alert to our members, and gathered up all the Farm Bureau field reps at the Capitol, and they helped connect our members from really all 77 counties with their members of the House of Representatives. And we were pleased at the way our folks responded in that. It's not a fight that we wanted. We didn't seek that out. It just came to us, and we had to stand up for what we believed in on that. And thankfully, majority of the legislature, majority of the House, 64 members sided with us and defeated that measure pretty strongly, pretty soundly. So I think we sent a message about that it's always a good idea to be trying new things, but you really need to be listening to the people you're trying to help. And I think there were a few people pushing this that were committed to the idea, but the folks that they claim to be trying to help just really didn't want that type of help. And so it was our time to speak up, and turned out, I think, for the best.
That was defense. Anything on offense?
Yeah, we have one issue that's really grown in importance as time has gone by to try to streamline the water permit process for groundwater permits. We've worked with a group of water users to try to look at the way the statutes govern what the Water Resources Board does when we apply for a water permit, and whether who can protest that, who has standing, whether they actually have skin in the game, whether they own property in the area that the water permit's going to come from, or whether they just are or an activist organization out to try to win a crusade, and it really has some serious economic development ramifications in several areas of the state. So that has passed through the Senate and moves over to the House of Representatives, and so that's really kind of become the top priority on our list right now. We also have another water issue that we're working very cooperatively with the oil and gas industry on to try to work out some of the law when it comes to produced water, as they call it, that comes up out of the ground and used in oil and gas exploration. And as we move forward, we know how important water is going to be and how important it is to recycle and reuse every drop of water we can get our hands on. And now more than ever, you look at what's going on with the price in oil and gas. We need to make sure that all that is being used as effectively and efficiently as possible. And so we have a bill that's worked its way through the Senate on that topic that is really still kind of a rough draft, but have a lot of people in a room and a whole bunch of lawyers, I'm afraid to say, but we kid those guys pretty heavy, but we keep working with them. We have several ag groups and oil and gas groups in the room, and so we're optimistic that we can work out something that's good for both industries there.